How many of you think the President of the United States knows what he's doing? Don't you want to have a homily about politics? No, I don't either. So please take these as rhetorical questions. Do you think our governor knows what he's doing? How about our senators or representatives or justices or judges? Do you think our pope and bishop know what they're doing? And there are a number of ways that we could go about answering those questions. But I ask them in light of our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. If you were a little unsettled by the thought of the pope or bishop not knowing what they're doing, I must admit, I'm a little unsettled by the question the apostles put to Jesus right before his ascension. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They've experienced his teaching for 3 years, his death and resurrection. They've been instructed by the risen Jesus for 40 days. And on the cusp of his ascension, they still don't understand, seem to understand what Jesus means by the kingdom. That doesn't inspire much confidence from my way of thinking. He's about to turn them loose on the world. What's the kingdom again? But then the gospel really isn't about my way of thinking. Jesus himself doesn't seem fazed by their lack of understanding. He responds, and he says that there are some things you don't need to know. There are things that the Father is in charge of, and we need to trust him. And then he goes on to say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the apostles, they ask about Jesus restoring the kingdom. And Jesus responds about restoring the Holy Spirit. The apostles ask about political power, and Jesus responds with spirit power. And that happens so often, doesn't it? We're seeking one kind of gift, a limited, narrow, worldly gift, selfish gift, but he's got something much bigger in mind. The apostles ask about worldly power. Jesus promises divinization. He promises to fill them and us with divinity, with his own divine spirit. And not just to the apostles, and not just to Israel, but to everyone who believes. In some ways, the reasons for the ascension are completely wrapped up with that sad question from the apostles. Jesus needed to ascend physically to the right hand of the Father so that he could be present to us, not just physically, but interiorly. He ascends to the Father to send his Spirit within us. And this indwelling of the Spirit isn't like the memory of my dad being with me, real as that is. It's not like, oh, I remember him. The indwelling of the Spirit is an act of power and life and transformation. Listen to our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians when he describes the activity of the Holy Spirit within us. He says the Spirit effects unity through the bond of peace. By peace, he means the Spirit reconciles us to God. We're at peace with God and to one another. He brings us into the peace of the church. Right? The divine Spirit dwelling within you is what calls you and equips you to be reconciled with that person that you're at odds with. Who is that in your life? The divine indwelling Spirit sent by the risen and ascended Christ makes Christians into one body, with some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers. Now, if you pay attention to the inner working of the Holy Spirit within you, what spiritual work is he giving to you? Do you feel sent like an apostle? Filled with a message like a prophet? Eager to witness to your faith like an evangelist? Called to shepherd and to build up like pastors and teachers? Paul goes on that this same Holy Spirit equips the holy ones, that's you and me, for the work of ministry. Ministry isn't just being hired by the church. Ministry is living a Christian life no matter what you work for, who you work for, what you do for your work. And your ministry is for the sake of building up the body of Christ. He says, until we all attain to the unity of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. The indwelling power of the Holy Spirit is meant to transform us into Christ, the fullness of Christ in the whole world. This Feast of the Ascension isn't about Jesus disappearing or leaving us behind. Nor is it about Jesus thinking that he's done with us and now it's our turn, which would really be scary based on that question of the apostles. No. The Feast of the Ascension is about redoubling our prayers of interceding and begging the risen and ascended Christ to pour out and for most of us to renew his gift of the Holy Spirit in us. If you're not sure what charism or charisms, spiritual gifts, he's given to you, and he has given them to you, then this time between Ascension and next Sunday, Pentecost, is specifically for you to beseech Christ for a new outpouring of the Spirit and power upon you. The original novena, 9 days of prayer, were the 9 days between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday. The apostles didn't have all the answers on the Ascension. But they didn't need to. What they needed was to receive the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts or charisms that he brings. And then it takes great humility. First, to accept. How humble are you? Can you accept and use what has been gifted to you? How humble. We need that humility. But then also to accept humbly without being upset the ones he didn't give you. The church needs the spiritual gifts that he's given to you and the other ones he's given to you and you and you. That's what builds us up into the one body of Christ come to maturity in the world and for the kingdom. So here's the homework for the week. Double, triple, quadruple your prayer this week, beseeching Christ to pour out and renew his spiritual charisms upon you and upon all in this parish for the building up of the church. The Feast of the Ascension is all about interceding for the Spirit. He goes to the right hand of the Father to send the Spirit. Beg him to do that again and again.